Snakes have a bad press. Not surprisingly, as about 1 million people are bitten by snakes every year and some 30 to 40,000 people die from snake bite. Their silence or near silence seems to add to menace, and comparatively few people would say they really like them. I can still vividly remember the tea party I attended as a teenager with the TV animal presenter of those days, George Cansdale. I was enchanted when he produced a bush baby, less than enchanted when he threw a sleepy python onto my lap. They also have a bad press in the Bible. Although there are several species of snake in the ancient Near East, most of them harmless, it's seemingly only the venomous ones that get to be part of the biblical narrative. The first appearance, of course, is the snake in the Garden of Eden, tempting Eve. The great Leviathan, the sea serpent of later biblical references, is part of that picture of chaos, represented also by the unruly sea, which needs to be conquered by the power of God. The relevance of snakes for Good Friday comes from the passage in St. John's Gospel, where Jesus takes Nicodemus back to the story of the snakes in the wilderness, which we read about in Numbers chapter 21. The people of Israel have been grumbling to Moses about life in the desert. They'd have been better off back in Egypt. The story continues that God punishes their faithlessness by sending fiery serpents which bite them and many die. They realize this is a divine plague and hastily reconsider their attitudes. They ask Moses to intercede for them, and God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. If they are bitten and then go and look at the bronze serpent, they will be healed. We're again into some pretty primitive ideas here. There were many people in the ancient world who believed in various kinds of sympathetic magic. There's a record, for example, of the Philistines being overrun with mice and making a statue of a mouse which frees them from the plague. That sort of superstition is not far from this story. But Moses is not into magic any more than God is. It isn't a question of just making the bronze serpent. They have to have faith in God's promise and go and look at it. We gather that the bronze serpent was kept as a treasure for 5 centuries after that incident. It was kept in the temple until the time of the reforms of Hezekiah, when it was destroyed because it had become an object of superstitious worship itself, possibly because a serpent was also a symbol of the goddess Astarte, the consort of the god Baal. But it was not forgotten completely. In the book Wisdom, written in the days between the Old and New Testaments, it's referred to as the symbol of salvation. It's with this background that Jesus says to Nicodemus that he will be lifted up like the bronze serpent had been in the desert. He is to be the means and the symbol of salvation for those who look at him. Salvation has become a very technical and theological word. We need to remember its essential meaning is healing or wholeness. Salvation means things being as they should be, complete, undamaged. The cross restores wholeness to the relationship between us and God. Jesus' death on the cross is a symbol of that love which puts things right spiritually, just as the snake on the pole was a symbol of God's love putting things right physically for the Israelites in the desert. There are 2 words which are shared by those 2 stories as well as the imagery. The first is the word sent. Numbers tells us that God sent the plague of poisonous snakes. And John tells us God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be healed through him. The notion of God sending poisonous snakes to punish people is not a perception of God that we would want to propagate. Sadly, there have been Christians through the ages who've clung on to that outmoded image of God in ways that have sometimes been very damaging to the Christian mission. We hear it at a personal level when people say things like, "I don't know what I've done to deserve this." We hear it at a communal level when people say HIV/AIDS or global warming is God's judgment on the world. It's terrible theology to think that God zaps you when you have a moan at him. It's terrible theology because it simply isn't true. If it were, there would be an awful lot of people who got zapped. But when Numbers was written down, that was the image of God they had, and it's preserved for us. But that same word, sent, applied to Jesus, is used in precisely the opposite way. In Jesus, God sends good news and life, not bad news and death. Jesus is God in action, God who wants wholeness and healing and restoration. He didn't come by accident, but to fulfill God's purpose. He was sent. He didn't just arrive. The second word which the two stories share is lifted up. I know it's two words in English, only one in Greek. Its literal meaning is clear enough. The bronze serpent was lifted up on a pole so that everyone who wanted healing could easily see it. Jesus also was lifted up, essentially on a pole again, but with a cross piece as well. And it took place where everyone could see, because the Romans used crucifixion as the usual way of executing people, the very public humiliation and suffering being to warn others off doing anything which might put them in the same place. But there's also a symbolic meaning of that same word, lifted up in the sense of exalted. Jesus refers twice more in John's Gospel to being lifted up. And in the second one, it's very ambiguous, because it just could just as well refer to his ascension as to the cross. And in the Acts of the Apostles and in Paul's writing, it's used very definitely to refer to the ascension. It's one of the things we need to hold in mind today. As someone wrote, where there is no cross, there is no crown. We have to hold in tension the sadness of the cross and the glory of the cross, the apparent defeat and the actual victory. As the hymn writer applied that principle to all of us, for only he who bears the cross can hope to wear the glorious crown. So think about these two words, sent and lifted up. Be like the people in the desert and consciously look at Jesus on the cross so that God's healing can come to you. And remember that we are all sent by God to bring in the kingdom. As we say at the end of services on Sunday, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.